Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the NewAlta Q3 conference call and webcast. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Leanne Iverson, Investor Relations Assistant. Ms. Iverson, please go ahead.
Thank you, Thomas. Welcome to NewAlta's third quarter conference call. On the call today, we have Al Kadoss, President and CEO, Mike Borys, Senior Vice President and CFO, and Anne Plaster, Executive Director, Investor Relations. During the call today, NewAlta may make forward-looking statements relating to expected future performance. Such statements are based on current views and assumptions that are subject to uncertainties which are difficult to predict, including expected operating results, industry conditions, availability of financing alternatives, debt service, and future capital needs. Certain financial measures that do not have any standardized meaning prescribed by Canadian GAAP will be referred to during this presentation. These financial measures are identified and defined in NewAlta's continuous disclosure documents. Please refer to our continuous disclosure documents as these documents identify factors which may cause actual results to differ materially from any forward-looking statements. Anne will now provide introductory remarks.
Thank you, Leanne. Good morning, everyone. NewAlta profited from widespread and growing demand for our services in the third quarter. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 12.2 million or 41%, largely due to higher activity levels across all our lines of business, with only 10% of the gains due to increased commodity prices. Return on capital increased to 15% on a trailing 12-month basis, up from 12% for the same period last year. We continued to make excellent progress expanding our on-site business as we added the new three-year contract with Syncrude to our growing base of long-term contracts. We were also proud to be named Oilweek magazine Supplier of the Year, as voted on by our customers. We expect strong market demand to drive continued improvements to bottom-line results in the quarters ahead. For today's call, Mike will highlight our financial results for the third quarter, and Al will close with summary remarks. Mike?
Thank you, Anne. Strong market demand across all of our services delivered robust year-over-year growth in Q3 and year-to-date. Q3 2011 results increased over last year, with revenue up 25% to 182 million and adjusted EBITDA up 41% to 41.9 million. Adjusted EBITDA as a percentage of revenue improved to 23% in the quarter as compared to 20.5% in the prior year. Gross profit as a percentage of revenue grew to 25% in Q3 2011, up from 24% in Q3 2010. Net earnings grew to 11.8 million compared to 5.9 million in Q3 2010 as a result of growth in operational profitability. This flowed through to our gross debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio, which improved to 2.40 from 3.0 in Q3 of 2010. The ongoing improvement in financial leverage continues to create greater financial flexibility for future growth. Overall, the primary drivers for the year-over-year growth in the third quarter include Western facilities and heavy oil waste volumes were up 12% and 19% respectively. Stoney Creek landfill volumes were up dramatically, with event-based volumes that were delayed from the first half of 2011. Drill site equipment utilization was up from 57% to 62%. On-site contract revenue was up, and commodity price improvements accounted for 10% of the adjusted EBITDA gain. Year-to-date, adjusted EBITDA increased by 29% to 109.8 million. Approximately 80% of the improvement is attributable to higher activity levels and organic growth from capital investments, with the balance driven by higher commodity prices. Adjusted EBITDA increased to 22.0% of revenue on a year-to-date basis from 20.6% in 2010. Adjusted SG&A expenses on a year-to-date basis improved to below 10% of revenue. For Q4 2011, we anticipate adjusted SG&A to be 10% of revenue. Our board of directors declared a third quarter dividend of 0.08 per share or 0.32 per share annualized, payable October 15, 2011, to shareholders of record at September 30, 2011. As for divisional highlights, in our facilities division, Q3 2011 revenue and gross profit both strengthened by 29% compared to Q3 2010. This was driven by strong contributions from our Western facilities, including oil recycling and a Stoney Creek landfill. Year-to-date, revenue and gross profit increased by 23% and 17% respectively compared to 2010. Performance reflected higher activity levels across all lines of business. In our on-site division, strong results for the quarter were driven by strong oil and gas-related activity. Revenue and gross profit increased by 19% and 25% respectively. Gross profit as a percentage of revenue was 27%, up from 26% in Q3 2010. The reactivation of our MFT projects in heavy oil and higher utilization of drill site equipment resulting from increased drilling activity drove 33% of the incremental revenue through to gross profit. Year-to-date, on-site revenue and gross profit increased by 15% and 40% respectively over 2010. Higher utilization of drill site equipment resulting from increased drilling activity and processing at the MFT project in heavy oil drove 58% of incremental revenue through to gross profit. As Ann mentioned, in Q3, we were awarded a three-year on-site contract to process mature fine tailings, or MFT, for Syncrude. This contract is expected to be operational June 1, 2012, and we've already begun extensive development and engineering work on the site. As a result, our board of directors approved an increase of $10 million to our original capital expenditure budget for a revised total spend of $110 million in 2011. Outside of the Syncrude contract expenditure of $10 million, our original capital spending budget remains on track for the year, with growth capital expected to be $73 million and maintenance capital at $27 million. Capital expenditures for the quarter and year-to-date were $32.5 million and $72.4 million, respectively. Year-to-date, growth capital spending was $53.3 million, and maintenance capital expenditures totaled $19.1 million. We are in the process of finalizing our 2012 capital spending program and plan to press release our budget in early December, as we have in prior years. We have improved visibility on our pipeline of organic growth capital projects, extending well into 2013. The depth of our pipeline of capital projects provides us with flexibility in how we respond to possible changes in our economic environment. Long-term commitments will generally be supported by contractual arrangements, and the way in which we design and build our assets allows us to redeploy them to follow market activity. In Q4 of 2011, we expect all areas of the business to perform consistently with what we saw in Q3, with the exception of the Stony Creek landfill. Oil and gas drilling activity is expected to be robust through the end of the year. Although lead prices have declined from Q3 levels, we anticipate lead sales volumes at DSC or Ville St. Catherine will be higher than 17,000 metric tons, offsetting the price impact. The only significant change in Q4 compared to Q3 will be reduced volumes at Stony Creek landfill. As a result of strong event-based volumes in the third quarter, Stony Creek will reach its maximum permitted capacity of 750,000 metric tons for the year. We are, however, optimistic that we will see another strong year in 2012 at the Stony Creek landfill, given the ongoing stream of event-based business. In on-site, in Q4, we expect continued growth from demand for drill site equipment in Canada and steady demand in the U.S. to realize utilization rates comparable to Q3 performance. We anticipate continued strong demand for our products and services for the balance of the year, and we expect ongoing improvement toward our historical return on capital average of 18%. We expect continued improvements to profitability, and return on capital will drive attractive returns to our shareholders. I'll now turn it over to Al for his summary remarks.
Thank you, Mike. Our trailing 12-month adjusted EBITDA is over $143 million, and our markets are much stronger today than a year ago. Improved demand for our services combined with the contributions from our 2011 capital investments will drive steady growth in EBITDA through 2012. We enter 2012 with a strong organization, well positioned to capitalize on opportunities for growth. We have an inventory of low risk and high return projects to expand services, to extend our market coverage, and to grow our long-term on-site contracts. Going forward, we expect growth at or near 20% per year, and we expect to fund this growth from the cash flow generated from the business. We are also continuing to move forward with technology development as we transfer new proven processes to operations for commercial application. Several promising technologies have progressed to the pilot testing and demonstration phases. Providing the best processes to improve environmental performance and to minimize costs will further strengthen our relationships with our current customers, as well as attract new customers who embrace innovation and sustainable business practices. We have delivered average annual growth of about 30% per year for almost 20 years. Our business model is clearly a success. The beauty of the model is that we don't need more waste to be produced or industrial output to rise. Our goal is to divert waste from disposal through the application of new processes to economically recover and reuse the valuable resources that they contain. And we can do this at one of our facilities or at the customer's facility. We have an outstanding market position with the size, market coverage, technical competency, and excellent customer relationships to deliver strong shareholder returns for many years ahead. Thank you. We'll now take your questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone line. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from James Morrison from Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Morning.
So just the Stony Creek landfill, that was, I think, a record in terms of volume collected. Is there something that's changed fundamentally there, and we can expect that kind of performance going forward, or higher performance than historically going forward, or is it was that just kind of a one-off?
We actually had good visibility through the year, so we knew. I know in the first quarter, I think we were light in our volumes, and we had commented that for the full year, we anticipated having a very, very strong year. So good visibility was there. It is driven by event-based business. I think in the past we have referenced the Pan Am Games, which will be in Toronto in 2015 as one of the drivers. So as we said, we will max out the permitted capacity of 750,000 in Q4. But based on what we're seeing for 2012, we would anticipate another strong year for 2012, certainly above what the historical three-year average has been, which is about 620,000 metric tons, and it could be as high as 750,000. So we could have another 2011. It's a little premature to kind of call it that way at this point, but we're very optimistic about what we're seeing.
And what happens when you reach your permitted allotment? Like, can you defer business, or can you kind of take a separate inventory, or do you just have to turn it down at that point and
We clearly have to work with the Ministry of Environment in Ontario. So there is some limited there's limited capacity we have at some of our facilities where we could take some of the heat. But for the most part, once you hit your maximum and you're there, you basically just have a better sense as to how you're going to be starting the beginning of the new year.
So it still does create a backlog if you run into your limit, because it just gets held at the customer, or does it go somewhere else?
Or a combination. It could be held at the customer. It could be held, again, if we were to leverage some of our other sites to source some of the material. So it certainly bodes well for 2012. And again, I think that's part of the reason why we're very optimistic about how 2012 will come in.
Okay. The increase in CapEx to $110 million. How much of that, is there more than $10 million of incorporated into that budget for the MFT project, or is that $10 million of the 20 to 30 for the total project you expect?
The $10 million is an approximation of what we anticipate spending in 2011 against the range we've provided of about 25 to 30 million for the Syncrude contract, and that's the bigger driver. The balance of the 100 million, we're pretty much on track to spending the splits we've given up before in terms of maintenance at about 25-27 million, and then the balance in growth capital.
Right. Okay. Great. And finally, just I'd like you, if you don't mind, take us through, I guess, your view of how you're better positioned today as a result of all the work you've done in the last couple of years to kind of weather a similar downturn to the 2009 event. I know that's kind of an open question, but...
Yeah, I'll speak to capital. I mean, we certainly have improved visibility and depth to our pipeline of organic growth capital projects, so we certainly feel good about that. As we've said, we've managed capital on a rolling 24-month basis within the context of our four-year business plan. And we are coming off, in 2011, a very strong and rich capital project year. We continue to have flexibility in how we deploy that capital, so as we look at the economy and any uncertainty that arises, we can redeploy capital if we need to be. So on the capital front, I think we're very, very strong. We've made tremendous progress on our on-site contracts and our on-site business model. Back in 2008, I believe we would have had getting one contract. We now have six operating contracts in operation. We've got three in design and construction, which includes the Syncrude contract, which will commence in June of next year. So we'll have nine contracts operating by the time that we hit June of next year. That provides us with a very strong, stable cash flow business, which provides that great buffer to, again, any kind of volatility that would hit our business. So I think that's very different in terms of where we are. The only other comment I make on on-site is we do refer to our model of trying to add 3 to 5 new contracts every year. So if you fast forward to 2014 or 15, we should have about 25 contracts, and we've talked about an average of 5 to 10 million. So if we're on the low end of that average of 5 million in revenue per year, by that time frame, at the low end, ideally, we should have about 125 million in stable contract business with very good returns coming from on-site. So that's different. Our balance sheet is very strong. I think back in 08, 09, we reached a peak of 4.5 times gross debt to EBITDA. We're 2.40 right now. Every single quarter, we've been taking it down. I think we mentioned we were at 3.0 in Q3 of last year. So we're steadily taking down and improving our leverage ratio. Our target is to get it below 2, and we'll do that without having to cut back on capital because we're generating good cash from our business. The economy overall and what we're seeing with our customers remains strong. We're not seeing any pullback. We're not seeing any signs that we may have seen in 08 in terms of a pullback or caution on the customers. So as we have gone through 2011 and we were very optimistic, we're exiting 2011, feeling just as optimistic with the projects that we have in hand and the visibility that we see into the coming year. So all in all, very favorable over the entire environment.
Okay, that's great, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Jason Granger from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Just looking at the project activity in heavy oil, so the six this year, nine slated for next year. So is it fair to say that the six underway this year, you'd have five SAGD and then the one mature fine tailings project for Syncrude?
No, we got the six are all in the Fort Mac area.
They are, okay.
The other two are also in the Fort Mac area, so SAGD. So that'll be eight, and then the ninth would be Syncrude coming in at about $20 million per year.
Okay. And those two additional contracts then in 2012, would those be the same sort of average revenue base of the the six in 2011?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, we talk about our target range of $5 to $10 million,
right,
where we want to build up the contract value. The ones that we have right now, I think, are averaging, I'll call it between 4 and 5 million, excluding Syncrude, which will certainly take the average up. But we're probably at about 4 to 5 million right now.
Okay. And just looking at your MD&A there, commentary around your Western on-site business, you mentioned that you've developed oil-based processing projects in the northern U.S. that accounted for about half of the year-over-year growth in that unit. Could you just elaborate on the nature of the services there? Are there some new services that you're working on, or just take us through that?
We're working with our customers. There's a lot of activity in the that would be in the Bakken play, which is oil based. So there's a lot of activity there. We're beginning to build upon our drill site rental equipment business, and trying to get a greater foothold. I think this past quarter we were very successful in working with a particular customer, and that had a good impact on our results.
Okay.
Jason, if I could add a comment, we're doing there what we do here, centrifuging emulsions and slop oil, which currently goes to disposal. And we're recovering the oil, and then, of course, selling the oil, and it's turning out to be a very profitable operation.
Okay.
This is the first of its kind in the U.S. oil patch.
Okay. And when did you guys start ramping that up?
We've been there through the year. Actually, I think we were there in a smaller way a year ago. So we would have been there in 2010 in a much smaller footprint. But we've been building on it through the year.
Okay. And turning over to VSC there, so your volume's just over 15,000 tons for the quarter. Were you guys holding back some volume there just given the price volatility around lead to avoid the margin pressure, or how should we look at that, and how should we look at that progressing into Q4?
Jason, it's Dan. Performance has been steady at VSC at about, for the year, 17,000 tons per quarter, so we expect that to continue. I think Mike said that we're going to see increased volumes in Q4 above 17,000 metric tons. And we expect our overall performance to be consistent with what we saw in Q3, given that the prices are a bit lower.
Okay.
Also, Jason, July is our shutdown month.
Yes. Okay.
As it was last year. And that would explain why the volumes were comparable to last year and down significantly from the other quarters and much less than we would expect for Q4.
We've been happy. I think we've said in previous quarters we've been very happy with performance at Ville St. Catherine. It's been pretty steady. The 17,000 metric ton guidance is actually, we're just a little bit over that on a year-to-date basis, being over 51 or 52,000 metric tons. So all in all, Ville St. Catherine continues to perform to expectation.
Okay. Okay. Last question here. You guys were talking about the improved visibility pipeline of organic growth and the depth of that pipeline giving you the flexibility in terms of how you respond to changes in the economy. Could you maybe take us through one or two examples of how that could potentially play out? I'm assuming you're talking about, say, if one sector becomes very weak and another one is still running strong, you could redeploy assets there. But maybe if you could just take us through an example or more color on that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, and we are going to be giving that much more color in December when we actually roll out our 2012 capital plan. But I guess I'd refer to our improving traction with on-site playing a key role in whatever that capital plan is when we release it. But you've got on-site, which by its very nature is flexible in terms of where we deploy that capital. We've talked about focusing on new and satellite facilities within the facilities division as an area where we can deploy capital. And then we've got productivity improvements that will continue to put capital again. So we've got a number of different strategic areas where we know that we can put capital, and just because of the comment of depth of projects, we can pick and choose and prioritize and adapt. And but for some of the longer-term on-site contracts where we would already have a long-term commitment, these aren't long-term commitments of capital, and that's another part of the flexibility we've spoken to. So if there is any uncertainty or if there's a pullback or whatever the case may be, we haven't kind of put ourselves out there where we've made a commitment of 50 or 60 or 70 million in one project or two projects. We'll be able to be pretty nimble in how we spend our cash, which I think is extremely important, I think, in these times.
Okay. And just one follow-up in connection with the on-site. In the east there, revenues down, not surprisingly there, given the early stages of development of that business. It actually came in a little better than we were expecting. But is there any further light you could shed on that business in terms of traction that you're picking up maybe potential sectors that you're focusing on or just other color you could add to what's going on there?
Jason, we're making excellent progress on industrial on-site work across Canada, including the East, gaining the confidence of customers and demonstrating the environmental benefits and cost savings from the approaches that we're proposing and from the short-term projects we're doing. And as you know, this is a slow sales cycle. Demonstrate, discuss with the customer, craft a proposal or scope the project, then craft a proposal. And the timeline is quite long, but we're very happy with where we are and the progress we're making and the relationships we have with the customers throughout Eastern Canada, whether they're in mining, refining, pulp and paper, petrochemical, or industrial automotive.
Okay, and the rate of decline there has moderated some going from the first half of the year into Q3. Do you have enough visibility to suggest that we should continue to expect that rate of decline to moderate to maybe end up with 2012 down sort of single digits or flat?
I wouldn't expect any decline. I think this business is, I would describe it as an embryonic stage.
Okay.
We're out demonstrating the benefits of our approach, and revenues will be a little choppy for the first couple of years. And then when we start nabbing some contracts, we'll see increased stability in the revenue and cash flow. But this is a whole new way of doing the business with new processes on the customer site. And these large customers primarily are relatively conservative. And so this, we're making excellent traction and will bear fruit. It just takes time and the revenue in the short term will be lumpy.
Okay. So, I mean, in 2012, we could potentially see a flat year in Eastern on-site.
You could. We certainly are not working for that.
Yeah, you're working for growth.
For a substantive increase in performance, you bet.
Okay. Okay, that's helpful. Thanks very much. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Rupert Murr from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Rupert.
Hey, Rupert.
Al, first off, just a point of clarification. When you talk about 20% growth year over year, are we talking about EBITDA and earnings here, or is this top-line growth?
Both. Top-line and EBITDA.
Okay, great. A couple of housekeeping questions here. Now, look at working capital seem to be up in the quarter and amortization as well. Are these levels that we should anticipate will hold in the coming quarters, or are we seeing any seasonality in the working capital and the amortization?
Yeah, the working capital would have been driven a little bit by seasonality, so we weren't overly surprised by it. That'll tend to rebalance itself at the end of the year. So we have our metrics on working capital, and we're well within where we expect to be and where we want to be. So no issues on working capital. Amortization would have been up primarily driven by Stoney Creek, the depletion allowance we take. So Stoney Creek does the volumes that it does, we just take a heavier amortization charge for depletion. So that would have been the key driver in the quarter.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. And just one final question, getting back to what Jason had asked. Are you seeing any fluctuations in the VSC business with the change in lead prices? Can you talk us through how the lower lead prices might impact that business in the next quarter?
Yeah. The I think we mentioned the lower lead prices we would anticipate for Q4 compared to Q3, but the offset would be in Q3 we had the 15,000 and change in metric tons, and we anticipate being over 17,000 in Q4. So volume will play a role, and in, increased volume will play a role in offsetting the impact on pricing for lead and exchange. So the Canadian dollar, we do anticipate the Canadian dollar where it is and where they're projecting it to be compared to where we were last year will be lower, and that obviously has a positive impact on negating some of the lead price impacts.
Okay, great. Well, that's it for me. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Our next question is from Maria Brilitano from J. Zechner Associates. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a few questions. The first question it relates to your upcoming debt financing plans, and I note that earlier in October, DBRS downgraded the recovery rating on your senior unsecured debentures in anticipation of more senior unsecured funding to
okay.
deal with your convertible debentures.
Yep. Yes. So there's two parts to that. One, they did give us the positive trend in terms of what they were seeing in our performance and results. So there were two components to it. We were very happy with the positive trend comment. And then the other was more of a formulaic view of where we were on the convertibles. We're entering that window where at this point we can provide notice and redeem the convertibles. And their assumption, given that we had issued the Series 1 $125 million senior unsecured debentures last year, that we may go down that same route for the redemption of the convertibles. So based on that, just mathematically, it had an impact on notching down the recovery rating.
Okay, but the timing of such an issue would be?
Oh, we have flexibility. So we're in that window right now where we can basically redeem the convertibles basically at par plus accrued interest. We'll continue to look at the market in terms of windows for us to go to the market. We see it as a great opportunity for us, however way we do it, to basically strengthen our balance sheet and add more term to our balance sheet. It's one of the objectives we've got. So we added 7 years last year with the 125 and took it away from our credit facility. By looking at these convertibles, we can basically, depending on what term we go with, if we're looking at debt, we can add more term to our balance sheet, which again I think speaks to improving the stability and the strength of our balance sheet. But we're not in any rush to do anything, so we'll just keep looking at the market. We do have plenty of time. We've got as a backstop, if there is any volatility in the market over an extended period of time, we do have ample room or capacity in our credit facility. We have an accordion feature in that as well, which gives us that much more room. And the market, I think, has done well with the bond that we issued last year. I think through the previous couple of months of volatility, we continue to trade above 100. We haven't surprised the market with any negative news. So I think we've built up some good credibility and a good reputation with the bondholders that did buy our debentures last year. So I think we're well positioned with a number of different options available to us.
Okay, and my second question is the on-site, the organic growth opportunities you have in on-site and the technological lead that you have, could you comment on any competitive, any competition in that space that you see emerging?
Yeah, we haven't, we don't have any competition doing what we do. So in terms of working the slop oil and recovering oil from the slop oil from the SAGD plants, we don't have competitors that are doing that work right now. And our growth will be partly driven by the SAGD facilities as they come on stream. And there are thresholds. So as these facilities get beyond certain thresholds of, barrels per day, it does make more economic sense for customers to bring us on site, reduce the transportation cost. They can no longer deal with that kind of slop oil being produced within their processes once they get beyond the threshold. And so that is the key driver right now as we take on more and more contracts. If you take a look at the different SAGD facilities coming on stream. Some of our growth is going to be tied to those facilities coming on stream and getting beyond certain thresholds. So feeling very positive about where things are going there.
Okay. And,
and also I would add that to do the kind of work we're doing on customer sites, you must have the technical competency. You've got to have the processes, operating experience, and proven safety performance excellence. And so we're uniquely positioned to go on their site and do this work and recover the product and give them back directly to the customer, as we're doing in SAGD, but also this would apply to refineries and petrochemical operations. So we don't see anyone in the market that has the blend of competencies that we have that can do the kind of projects that we are doing. I think certain comparators may have taken the name on site that we've been talking about now for about 5 years, but it's not the same type of contract work that we're after.
Okay, and then on that same topic, the growth strategy requires quite a dramatic increase in your labor force to be able to implement it. How are skilled labor market conditions in terms of being able to find qualified people to work on these projects?
Well, first off, during the downturn in 2009 and 2010, we did, of course, some downsizing, but were very careful to retain the competency that we had in our operations, particularly in the oil field facility network. And so we are well staffed on the facility side, and recruiting for on-site is a combination of transferring people from facilities as well as recruiting. The market is quite warm here in Alberta, I would say. Not nearly as warm in eastern Canada, where we're adding people to do projects as we speak. But it is, we're not so far restricted or encumbered by our ability to recruit. We're able so far to recruit the people that we need to do the projects that we're undertaking, including the Syncrude project. And I think to a degree, because of the stability of the employment, we are seen as one of the better companies to work for in Western Canada as well as across Canada, I believe.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Jeff Fetterly from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
First question on the heavy oil side, on site. You said the current contracts are running about $4 to $5 million per year per contract.
On average, it'll work a little bit. The average will work out to about $4 to $5 million. Yeah.
So the balance of your revenue in that business right now, what's your line of sight for converting that into more formal structures?
Well, the balance outside of the contracts within heavy oil would be the fixed facility base that we've got in that region. So that will, again, be tied to some of the development going on in Fort Mac in the Athabasca region. So the visibility there will be driven by that development, which we, again, would expect to be very robust over the next 3 to 5 to 7 years.
I think we have disclosed, Jeff, how many projects we are scoping and how many are in the proposal stage, in addition to the ones that are under construction, the three that are under construction as we speak. So we have a good pipeline of opportunities moving through from scoping to proposals to the three contracts we have.
It's safe to say that the 3 to 5 incremental contracts per year that you target, you have a pretty good line of sight towards right now?
That would be fair to say, yeah.
Okay. Eastern on-site, the run rate of that business where it stands today, what does utilization of that asset base look like? And is that a business that's profitable running at about $9 or $10 million a quarter in top line?
Well, I guess the first thing I'll say is we don't generally speak to profitability for the individual business units, so I won't go there. It's, as Al said earlier, it's in that embryonic state. So 9-10 million is probably less consequential to us right now in terms of how we look at it. It's more about as we build traction and build a base to go beyond it. We do feel good about what we're doing with Eastern Onsite. We're applying the same kind of resources, people, leadership to what we had done in the West. And so they will have success. We're beginning to hear of a project that we're looking at that haven't been seen yet in the P&Ls or on the revenue line. But we are feeling comfortable in terms of confident in terms of where Eastern Onsite will go in the near future.
And also, Jeff, by its nature, the equipment is mobile, and we're in asset allocation mode. And so we have contracts in the West, and we don't just have as many in the East. The equipment is pretty easy to move out West to execute the project, and then if we gain a contract or a project in the East, it's relatively easy to move the equipment back.
When I look at the 2010 performance of that business relative to what you've done so far in 11, do I interpret your comments that you've reallocated some of the asset base out of the Eastern business, so therefore the earnings potential of that business is lower this year than it would have been in 2010?
No, I think what distorted 2010 or the comparisons between 11 and 10, and I think this was predominantly in the first quarter, had to do with some one-off, it's event business. So when you get it, if you don't have that traction to continue to deliver that kind of event business, you're going to get that lumpiness. And I think that's what's driving some of your comparisons between 2011 and 2010. There was that lumpiness in, I believe it could have been Q4 of 09 and Q1 of 2010, and that's distorting some of the comparisons. But you're going to have that. We may have a quarter where all of a sudden we get a project which will drive a quarter, but we'll be then cautioning everybody to say, we're not there yet. We haven't built up the model where it's sustainable at this point. And that's kind of where Eastern Onsite is, where it is right now.
Is that a business that you're continuing to invest capital in, or are you just trying to optimize the asset basis in place today?
I'll go back to how Onsite works. We do a large number of relatively short-term projects. Some of them are just projects that have no future. We're just doing a job for a customer. Some have the potential to turn into a long-term contract. And then we scope those, and if the customer, based on the scoping and estimating of capital and operating costs, if the customer is interested, we'll proceed to do a proposal and present the proposal to the customer for a long-term contract. So the work in the East is primarily right now project work. We obviously don't have a long-term contract yet. Project work tends to be quite lumpy, we would not expect to try and grow project work. We're more interested in trying to grow contract work arising from that project work. So a certain lumpy one-time projects are not repeated the following year. It's not of a particular concern. It's how many projects we're scoping and how many proposals we have outstanding that's a real measure of the success of the business. So we are committed to the development of the on-site program in as far as it is growing the contract, long-term contracts in the business. We're not committed to chase one-time projects. So they will come. We may do them. We may not do them. We may choose to do a proposal on a project or not. We're most interested in those projects that could lead to long-term contracts.
So at this point, you're not investing incremental capital?
We have, I believe, this year, but...
Yeah, we have, but again, I think Dal's comment, it'll be contingent on the success and traction in getting closer to a contract in the East.
Okay. Last point, I realize you're still going through the iterations of your capital program, but when you think conceptually about 2012, do you see, with the pipeline of growth opportunities organically, do you see incentive to spend more in 12 than 11? Or do you, are you comfortable with the 2011 pace for 2012?
We're certainly exiting 2011 with a strong pace. I got to be careful not to get ahead of myself, because we are going to, in a short period of time in December, we'll lay out all the detail on the capital number. But we'll leave it to people to draw their own conclusions in terms of where that, where the spending may be, just given our optimism with the pipeline that we're looking at.
Okay. Well, you know, none of us really want to wait, so might as well.
Yeah, we figured that.
Thanks for the color.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Michael Simpson from Century Investments. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. I'm just wondering, with regards to your salt caverns, do you have any plans to expand or buy additional salt caverns or wash any out?
Yeah, I've got no detail to add on specific capital projects.
Okay, and just the, you're confident with the remaining life of your salt caverns that you currently have right now?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have any questions. Our next question is from Jeremy Lucas from Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
My question has been answered. Thank you.
That's quick.
Thank you. Our next question is from Doug Young-Husband from CIBC Wood Gundy. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
Look forward to seeing you in Toronto on the 16th. Credit to you guys on execution and basically doing what you say you're going to do. I've been following you for years. Two questions.
Thank you very much.
With respect to on-site heavy oil contracts, you've talked repeatedly about the size of the contracts or the average size, 4 to 5 million, but what is the average duration or term of those contracts, or what are you aiming for when you sign these longer-term contracts?
Some of the contracts may begin at 1 year. Some may begin at three. What has happened with the limited experience that we've had with our contracts is we basically begin to expand upon the contract and in both ways, in two ways. One would be expansion of services because we happen to be on a customer site.
Right.
We may highlight with the customer how we could be doing some additional work for them using the same people and same equipment. So in that sense, the contract would be expanded, and we've also, on a number of occasions, been able to extend the contract. So what may have been a 1 or 2 or 3 may be extended into a 5 year or beyond. Ideally, we'd like them to all be within that 5 to 10 year range, where, again, we have the stability coming from our equipment and our people.
Sure. So we'll all be patient then. Second question, and this is more directed towards Al. Al, I just looked at your biography on Google, and it says you're 61. So the question is, do you have any imminent plans for retirement?
Imminent, no.
Good. The second question to you, Al, is last quarter you referenced or referred to the possibility of an emerging business line in the United States, and I think it was with respect to treating fracking fluids or frack water. Any further developments there? Any updates? Any news?
You know what? I'll take that. We've made the investment in TARM, Terra Aqua, back in the beginning of Q3. $6 million investment. We've spoken about how we'd like to open 2 new additional facilities. So we have one operating facility there now, just outside of Williamsport in Pennsylvania, taking advantage of the Marcellus play. We'd like to open another 2 facilities. We believe that those 2 facilities could be open over the next 12 months. So through 2012, we may have another 2 open. So we'll have 3 facilities. It's a partnership. So the $6 million that we put into the partnership will actually go quite a long way towards funding the 2 new facilities. Frack water recycling is very big as an opportunity for us in Pennsylvania. The economics are such in Pennsylvania that it is that much more costly for producers to transport. They have to do something with their water. for them to transport it out of state, because there aren't that many options for them within state, would outweigh the cost of them keeping it within the play or keeping it within state and using a facility such as ours to recycle their frack water. And then they get a good percentage of that water back to them for reuse. So that's where we see some good opportunity. It kind of goes back to Al's earlier comment on Eastern OnSite. We are in the U.S. We have about 150 to 200 people. We have drill site equipment and drill site people that are in various plays that are, I guess, what we call short-term projects. We're in the same kind of stage in terms of beginning to build a longer-term base. TARM represents one of those ways that we can begin to build a longer-term base of operations. What we talked about earlier about oil processing where we're recovering oil, that's another area where we're beginning to try to build a longer or stronger base of operations to leverage the people and the equipment that we've got there. So it speaks to not only the opportunities we have in the U.S., but it speaks to driving stability into the business along with growth.
Maybe one way to visualize this is that we began talking about on-site services 3 or 4 years ago. We're gaining traction. It's moving forward. It's now more than $200 million revenue. And we're now quietly building a U.S. presence. And we're up to, as Mike mentioned, 150 people. And we're doing a variety of things in the U.S. that we already do in Canada that we know how to do. Drill site centrifugation, wastewater treatment, centrifuging of emulsions and slop oil. And so we're quietly penetrating the U.S. market, and while we're continuing to fully deploy and develop our on-site contract work in Canada. None of this is going to have much glamour. It's slow, steady development of our business in on-site, and slow and steady development of our business in the U.S.
I would add, too, Doug, that we are going to have a presentation on our U.S. Business in the Investor Day on November 16th.
Right. Well, nobody can ever accuse you guys of having a sexy business, but that's just the way I like it. So we'll see you in Toronto. Thanks for your
time. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I would now like to return the meeting over to Ms. Iveson.
Thank you, Thomas. And we thank all of you for taking the time to be on this conference call. A taped broadcast of the call is available on New Alta's website. We look forward to providing you with an update on New Alta's performance after completion of our fourth quarter and year-end for 2011.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.